Welcome to episode 1490 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. In the previous episode, John spoke for himself for the first time. Salome was gone, as were James, Peter, and the other companions who had shared those extraordinary years with Jesus. Exiled on Patmos under Roman rule, John found himself the last of the 12, separated from the churches he had spent decades serving, and confronted with a kind of silence he had never expected. Yet the island that seemed designed to diminish his influence instead gave him space to hear more clearly the voice he had been listening for since the day he first followed Jesus from the Jordan. That silence was broken by visions John struggled to contain in ordinary language. The beasts, seals, judgments, and upheavals might appear frightening to those who would later read them, but John recognized beneath them the same voice he had always known. Revelation was not a departure from the Jesus of Galilee, the cross, and the empty tomb. It was the completion of what John had spent a lifetime discovering. The Word who spoke in the beginning was still speaking, and the love revealed in Jesus remained equal to every darkness the world could produce. Acts of the Apostles, Part 6, Chapter 10.
I have been thinking about what it means to remain, not remaining alive. That is simply biology, and I take no credit for it. I mean remaining as a vocation, being the one who is still here when the others are gone, the last keeper of what was seen. When I was young, I did not want to remain. I wanted to go, to be where the action was, where the confrontation was happening, where the kingdom was arriving with power, and the moment was now, and the fire could be useful. I wanted to sit at the right hand. My mother has told you about that request. I am not embarrassed by it. I was 20 years old, and I believed in something with everything I had, and the urgency of the belief made me want to be at the center of it. What I have learned in 60 years of not being at the center of it is that the center is not where I thought it was. The center is not the dramatic moment. The center is the truth the dramatic moment was pointing toward. And the truth does not require dramatics. The truth requires witnesses, faithful, patient, long-living witnesses who will still be here when the dramatic moments have passed. And the question is what they meant. That is what I was kept for. I understand it now. Understood any of this without James going first. That is the thing I can say that no one else can, because no one else was his brother. James taught me what the cup could cost. He showed me what saying yes looked like when the cost finally arrived, and there was still time to take the yes back. He did not take it back. At the end, he offered peace to the man who had helped condemn him, and then the sword came down. I have been living inside that yes ever since, not because my cup has been the same as his. It has not. James was called to die first. I have been called to remain. For many years, I thought those were opposite things. I understand now that they are simply different ways of answering the same call. When I was in Gethsemane and Jesus was praying and I fell asleep, that failure never left me. I fell asleep when I should have been watching. And when the soldiers came, I ran. So did James. So did all of us. But somewhere between the garden and the hill, I turned back. I have tried, across all these years, to understand why. I would like to tell you it was courage, but courage would have kept me from running in the first place. I think it was something simpler. I could not let the last thing I did for Jesus be leaving him alone. I could not change what had happened in the garden. But while he was still alive, there was still time to come back. So I did. James carried his failure differently. He was not at the cross. My mother told you how heavily that absence rested on him after the resurrection. But James came back too. Only his return took longer. And when it came, it carried him farther than either of us could have imagined. The brother who had fled from the sword in Gethsemane would one day stand before another sword and refuse to run. I came back in time to stand beneath the cross. James came back in time to give his life for the one who hung upon it. He was the thunder you could see coming. I was the thunder that came without warning. We failed together, and we were restored differently. Perhaps that is one of the things I have understood only by living so long. Grace does not make identical stories out of us. It meets each of us where we have fallen and leads us forward by the road we are able to walk. James's road ended beneath a sword in Jerusalem. Mine has carried me all the way to this island. But both roads began again in the same place, with a risen Lord who came back for men who had run away. I want to tell you what you learn by being the last one. You learn that the story is larger than any of its participants thought while they were inside it. Each of us, living through it, had a partial view, limited by where we were standing, what we could see, what we could comprehend in the moment. Peter's view was Peter's. Thomas's was Thomas's. Andrew's was Andrew's. My mother's view, from the edge where mothers stand, was different from all of ours, and saw things none of us could see. From here, at the end, I can see more of the shape of it, not all of it. No single life can hold all of it, but more than I could see when I was standing in the middle of an afternoon in Galilee, wondering what was happening. What I see is this. It was always about love. Every miracle, every argument, every moment of misunderstanding and correction and failure and restoration, all of it was the expression of a love that the world did not have a category for and kept trying to fit into the categories it had. King, prophet, revolutionary, teacher, none of the categories fit. He kept breaking out of them because he was not any of those things primarily. He was love, taking a form the world could see and touch and, if it were willing, receive. I wrote that at the beginning of my gospel. The word became flesh and lived among us. I wrote it after decades of holding it, and I still have not exhausted what it means. I do not think it can be exhausted. That is the nature of something that was, in the beginning, with God. It does not run out. The world is still trying to fit him into its categories. It will keep trying, and he will keep breaking out of them, because that is what love does when it is not contained by what we thought love could be. My mother used to watch us from the edge of the crowd. She would find her position, never at the front, never at the disciples' feet, always slightly to the side, slightly behind, and she would watch. Not us only, everything. The crowd, the questioners, the people arriving with needs and leaving changed. She took it all in with those clear eyes, and she kept it, the way she kept everything. And she knew things about what she watched that no one else knew, because no one else was watching from exactly that place. I am doing the same thing now, from this island, watching from a particular place that no one else occupies, keeping what I see, writing it down. He called us sons of thunder, and the thunder, in the end, has not stopped. It has moved through all the shapes that thunder moves through, the crack that frightens, the long rumble that follows, the rain that comes after and makes things grow. And it is still present in the world, in the communities, in the letters that travel from one city to another, in the gathering of people who have never seen him and believe anyway because someone who had seen him told someone who told someone who told them. The thunder became a voice. The voice became words. The words became testimony. The testimony is still traveling. I do not know how long I have left on this island. I do not know how long the island has left before I am released from it, one way or another. What I know is that I have not been forgotten here. The visions are proof of that. The attention has not shifted. What was present on the first afternoon on the Jordan, what turned around when Andrew and I followed and asked what we were seeking, is still present, still patient, still asking the question that has been the center of everything. What are you seeking? I have been seeking the same thing since I was a boy, looking at the water from the side of a boat in Galilee. Before I had words for what I was looking for, I have found it. I am inside it. And the inside of it is not what I expected. It is not a destination you arrive at and then rest from seeking. It is the seeking itself, transformed. Looking for something with the joy of someone who knows where to look and cannot quite believe that looking is now sufficient, that the looking itself is the having, that love received is love returned without diminishment on either side. That is what remains. That is what I am. Come, Lord Jesus.
The story of Salome, James, and John began with a family beside the Sea of Galilee. There was a father with a fishing business, a mother named for peace, and two intense young men who had no idea what their fire was for. Then Jesus called, and everything that seemed settled became uncertain. James and John left the boat. Salome followed from the edges. Their ambition had to become service. Their certainty had to survive failure, and their thunder had to be transformed. James learned to answer hostility with peace. John learned that the deepest truth beneath everything he had witnessed was love. Salome learned that loving her sons meant opening her hands and allowing them to become what God had called them to be, even when their calling carried them beyond her reach. None of them followed Jesus in the same way. James's faithfulness ultimately required him to die. John's required him to remain. Salome's required her to watch, to serve, to grieve, and to keep believing. At the end, John discovers what all three lives have been revealing in different ways. What remains is love. Up next, the Apostle Paul.